text this morning. I'm going to read it, then we'll have a prayer. But the text is, when Jesus spoke again, this is from John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord. Light's available to us, and your leadership's available to us. Sometimes we just need to take time and listen. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the light of life, and you bring so much light into our hearts and into our lives. You quicken us, you enliven us. You help us to follow you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So Pastor went to Florida to help his, no, he didn't go to Florida. He went to Michigan, ended up in Florida. That wasn't by accident. He had to take his, drive his mother to Florida to her home down there, and due to the hurricane, there was damage, and he was going to help her fix it up, and apparently there was more damage than they anticipated. So those of you who came this morning hoping to see Pastor Jim, he'll be back next week, providing there's no more hurricanes. Has there ever been a time, I'm 78 years old, my elder here, he's older. Has there ever been a time in your life when you had Ned decisions to make? He had to decide to put his clothes on this morning. We're thankful. It was a request. That was requested. There's decisions all the time. And indecision can cause a fog in our brains. Uncertainty can gather around us in the dark of our minds. Our minds can be darkened. Our vision for our lives can be lost. Life can be very intimidating, obviously. Everybody knows that. That's my age. And this is no respecter of persons. You know, some people say, well, here's life easy. You don't have any decisions to make. Oh, yeah? Just talk to him for a little while. Everybody can relate to this subject. Maybe that's why God led me to it this morning. It's the if-onlys that turn the what-ifs of our minds into imagined dangers. We become cautious, we become concerned. There's never a time that we don't need guidance. I brought you a limerick this morning. I'm sure Marie will get that up there. I'll go ahead and read it real quick. There once was an old sailor my grandfather knew who had so many things which he wanted to do that whenever he thought it was time to begin, he couldn't because of the state he was in. Relate to that? It's a good limerick. My teachers back in school tried to teach us how to make limericks and write limericks, and we all had to attempt it, and I was an abject failure. But I can copy other people's limericks. I can remember limericks. I had a friend that turned this in to his teacher. It was one that everybody in the community, it was a country community, everybody in the community knew this limerick because the grandparents all said it. And the teacher was trying to get him to do that, and he turned it into his teacher. It was, there once was a man from Fort Worth who was born on the date of his birth. He was married, they say, on his wife's wedding day, and he died his last day on the earth. Unfortunately for my friend, she published it in a school newsletter. Teacher didn't know it, but everybody in the community knew it. Yeah, I understand that dilemma. We can get to the place in our lives that we have a difficulty making those decisions. So the biggest thing is setting priorities. And the main number one thing, we need to set priorities. We're always at the edge of a new decision. Always at the edge of a new decision. And the main thing that we need to consider is what is the basis for our decision making. I have gotten ahead of God so many times in my life. I can't even tell you how many times. What am I, 78? How many days is my life old? lots of times. get ahead of God. I make a decision. This is the thing we're going to do. This is the best thing to do. I just know it's the best thing to do. And this kind of relates to the Sunday school class this morning. It turns out it wasn't. It turns out if I'd taken a little bit more time to think and to consult God and to consult his word, I might have made a much better decision. So the big question is, how can I allow God to guide my life? I was asked that question this very morning. And I ask that question to myself sometimes. What does it mean? Lord, what do you want me to do? John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Oh, pierces our darkness, penetrates our minds, helps us to set priorities, helps us to realize who can shed light on the questions of my life. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I got an idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm supposed to go to Missoula and get a steroid shot in my lower back. I don't know if we'll get there or not. But my plan is this. What's God's plan? There's a series of scriptures here that I copied off and by hand, by the way, and they're just a wonderful, I call it a medley of scriptures that talk about the light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the foundation of life. In your light, we see light. Psalm 43:3, send your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. And I picked out Isaiah 60:19, and I know Isaiah is talking about heaven, but I think it also applies to this life. Isaiah 60:19 says, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. The Lord will be your everlasting light. That needs to be current. And in the Minor Prophets, I love the Minor Prophets, but Micah said this in Micah 7:8, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Now, when Micah was prophesying, things were very dark. He prophesied about the birth of Christ. He prophesied about, and a prophet is someone who tells forth, who talks about the problems of the day, who points out the sins of the king and whoever else. And Micah says, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Micah himself, prophet of God, felt the darkness. One of the names that is associated most with Christ is light. He illuminates our minds and our hearts. He exposes feelings and attitudes and hidden sins. We don't like to talk about that much, do we? What about our hidden sins? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell me this morning. John 3, chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Yeah. What's going on in my heart? What's going on in my life? There's always a little difference between what's going on in my heart and my mind and what's coming out of the front here. Guidance is a volitional thing, by the way. Guidance is a volitional thing. It's given to us who are willing, able, presenting ourselves to do God's will. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Lord is more than just a source of answers. He wants us to live so close we intuitively know what he wants us to do. He wants us to live so close that we intuitively know what he wants us to do. Man, when I was a kid, I knew the difference between right and wrong. I had some pretty big wallopings. Wait till your dad gets home. It's always a joyful time. Dad had come home. One time I decided I could outrun him, and that was a big mistake. Yeah, I could. The harder I ran, the closer he came. I could hear the nails jingling in his nail pocket, and I knew pretty soon I was going to really be clobbered. But I kept running like a moron, and he caught me. How in the world do we get it into our hearts and lives? How do we accomplish the ability to know exactly what light God is shining, or exactly what he wants us to do, exactly what a good decision would be? John 8, 31 and 32, I put that down too. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I gave Marie 10 basic questions that we're going to put them up, I think. These are just basic questions that we need to ask. What's my life agenda? What's my ultimate purpose? Is it to know and do the Lord's will? Where's your desires? Do you desire to do what God wants you to do, or do you desire to do what you want to do? Are you in it just for the ride? Which of the alternatives before me, which will be congruent to my life agenda? Can I do it and keep my priorities straight? Number three, does it contradict any of my basic values? Number four, will it extend the kingdom of God in my own life, relationships, my society? Number five, if I make the choice, would it glorify my Lord and help me to grow as a person? Wow. Number six, would the choice bring me into a deeper relationship with the Lord? This is very convicting if you actually go through this in your spiritual life. Number seven, does it enable the ultimate good of everyone concerned? I flunked that one a number of times. The word ultimate means in spite of pain or difficulty, would it be finally creative for everyone involved? Sometimes we gotta have some pain. Can I maintain, number eight, can I maintain my self-esteem? Can I hold my head up? More difficult with my neck problems, but can I hold my head up? If I make this choice, can I look back having done it and still love and accept myself? Number nine, will it cause stress, anxiety, or disease of soul? Number 10, can I take the Lord with me in every aspect of carrying out this decision? It goes back to something else there, you know? Do you go places that Jesus wouldn't go with you? Do you do things that you don't think Jesus would do with you? I mean, we saw this video this morning. It's a great video. And this video is showing the compassion Christ had and the care he had and the fact that he wanted to help the real needs of lives. He wanted to change lives. We accomplish that by remaining close to him. I did have one other scripture I probably don't need to read, but this is one of I noticed this is one of the memory verses that Deb wants the kids to learn. By the way, I took that sheet that Deb handed out last week or week before, memory verses for kids to memorize, and I looked it all over, and I'm like, yeah, I memorized every single one of these. Unfortunately, they were in King James Version only. Some of these newer translations actually shed more light on a thing. And well, Living Bible is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. But the NIV translation says it this way, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. This, by the way, was written to people who had been Christians a while. Yeah, in other words, it needs to be in our hearts and in our lives. God never gives up on you. If I don't communicate anything else, I want to communicate the fact that God loves you and he never gives up on you. He sees your needs. He sees basic problems in your lives. He sees them more clearly than you do. He tries to lead you into light. He tries to lead you into truth. And if you live in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And God cleanses you from all sin. That's actually from 1 John 1, 5, 7, somewhere in there. Something I memorized way back when, probably King James Version. It's kind of hard having memorized all your scriptures in King James Version. I had some brutal women in my life growing up. Large women forced us to memorize this stuff. I think Deb's really nice about the memorization process. These women were brutal. If you didn't know it, you were in trouble. Kids nowadays have got it so easy. Not really, but it's so basic to us. How does God answer our prayers for guidance? Well, the fact is, we just have to accept his guidance. We have to accept his guidance. Sometimes his guidance comes from other people. I am so thankful for people in my life that stepped up and said, "Hey, Dwight, hold on, buddy. Here's something you're doing wrong, and here's something you need to do." Circumstances always. My, whatever circumstances you're in, God wants to guide your life. He wants to direct your paths. Prayer. He answers your prayer for guidance through prayer. It's difficult to communicate this because we so often see prayer as our giving God a list of things that he should do. You should do this, God, and you should do this, God. You know, we pray for people and we say, you need to do this for this person, God. And the fact is, God has everybody's best interests in heart. We do need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We do need, we really need to pray for the people that have lost so much. We need to pray for those things. Those are grocery lists in my estimation. True prayer. And this is a really hard thing to do because of our humanity and because of our propensity to just hurry on. And we're in a hurry, you know. I mean, I'm 78 years old and I really don't have that much to do anymore, but I'm always in a hurry. And I'm not the worst one in my family. Bonnie's really in a hurry all the time.
She's listening.
That's because she's listening. Thank you. That's probably true. but just spending time to God, time with God, and allowing him to speak to you and to communicate to you the things that he wants to do. One time we were building a house in South Dakota, and I was really intense on making sure the drainage was all right. Didn't want any water in my new house, my new basement. And there was one area that wasn't going to drain properly. And so I called the excavator. I said, "You got to fix this." He sent this kid over. I don't know, he was probably 20, 18, 19, 20. And it needed to go down a foot and a half. And he has this excavator. And he must have been really skilled with an excavator because he took out 4 inches. And I went out and I said, "This needs to go deeper. This has got to drain." I said, "What are you thinking?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just thinking about what I'm going to drink tonight." See, did I have a cell phone then? Yeah, I did have a cell phone then. I called the excavator and I says, "Get this idiot out of my yard and get over here and fix this thing." And he sent his dad over, who was kind of just helping. He was kind of starting them in business, and he was an old grader operator. He came in, and when he was done, the yard was perfect. But I don't know what happened to the kid. But I was just like, what? That's the only thing you're thinking of? So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you tying yourself tightly to the Holy Spirit of the living God? One of our Proverbs, I had this memorized in King James too, so I'm going to read it from NIV. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, looks like. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I don't know if anybody made any New Year's resolutions. I've made it a practice in my life to never make a New Year's resolution. I never signed up for a gym membership. It wasn't just a New Year's thing. I just never signed up for a gym membership. But I never did anything because I saw people fail so spectacularly in that. But this particular verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you should put that on your mirror. So in the morning when you're brushing your teeth, God's speaking to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's a tough one for me. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I have a quote here right at the end from Alfred Lord Tennyson. I love Tennyson's writing. I'm so thankful I took all the literature courses I did, because in my working life I never really had time for it. But Alfred Lord Tennyson says this, and the second half of this is so pertinent. Speak to him, thou, for he hears. In spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Wow. Oh, got a picture of him up there too. Thanks, Marie. I forgot what he looked like. Speak to him, Lord, for he hears, and spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Wow. But that's the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Yeah, right there. That's God in your heart. Learn to listen to what God says to you. Now you need to do this prayerfully, and you need to do it with scripture, because you can get really wacko. But if you listen to God, if you trust in him, if you don't lean to your own understanding, if you submit to him in all your ways, he will direct your paths. Father, thank you for the word. The word enriches us, changes us, draws us closer to you. And I just pray, God, that you will continue to bless this congregation as they go from here, and help all of us, Lord, to follow in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.